Let's turn to the book of Acts. Yesterday we studied chapter 1 and chapter 2. So from today on, we are going to study chapter 3. In the book of Acts, you can see the first time the Holy Spirit came down from heaven to the earth. And the first time they witnessed Jesus ascended to heaven. And the first time they performed the water baptism. And the first time they live a new life, a life of observing apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread, and prayer. Now, chapter 3, we are going to study the first miracle being performed in the book of Acts. You know the condition of the true church. The first one is the true church must have the Holy Spirit, because church considers the body of Christ. According to the book of James, if the body without spirit is a dead body, when the spirit comes back to the body, it's a living body. So church must have the spirit of God. The second, since church is the body of Christ, so the church must speak the language of Christ to represent the thinking of Jesus Christ. So the apostle, they preach the words of God. So the true church must proclaim the gospel exactly according to the truth revealed by God. And the third criteria for the true church is power. You still can remember that a woman issuing blood for 12 years, she spent all what she had, and she has visited all the physicians. Nobody was able to cure her. She has no money anymore. So she was at the end of all means. But at that time, Jesus passing by that village, that woman strive very hard to approach Jesus Christ. She tried to squeeze into the crowd. As soon as she touched the garment of Jesus Christ, her sickness was cured. So Jesus turned back and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples say, "Nobody touched you, because there are so many people. Maybe somebody touched you by accident." And Jesus said, "No, because I feel there's a power released from my body." So the body of Jesus Christ has power, and this body is the church. So if the church is really the true church, the church must have the power of Jesus. And one of the manifestations of the power of Jesus Christ is a miracle, wonder, and signs. So nowadays, if we pray, just like what we have been praying in the past 1 week, you continue to live this kind of life, sanctify ourselves and center on God and dedicate in prayer, you are going to see the church will be filled with power. You are going to see a lot of miracle and signs, wonder will happen. And how come we pray for 1 week? It seems still not, feel nothing happen. Because previously we have been driven away, so far away from God. Our heart has been polluted so much by the world. You see, our heart has been what? Has so many junk food. You consume a lot of video, you look at a lot of TV. All of them are junk food, polluted our mind. So it takes time to use the words of God to gradually wash our heart to be clean. It takes time, gradually, the fire of the Holy Spirit burn out our filthiness. So once our heart been cleansed up, the fire burn up all our iniquities, and then you continue to dedicate in this kind of prayer, definitely you will feel that the power of God will prevail among us. And the more we pray, the more you are going to feel we are close spiritually. We have stronger spiritual bond. So we will not easy to be attracted to the world anymore, because this is a fellowship. All the brothers and sisters, like a big family, we are connected through the spiritual bond. And without this kind of spiritual bond, very easily, after you go back home, you will be attracted by your friend in the world. You will go back to the old lifestyle. So prayer is so much important. We have to emphasize. In chapter 3, now recorded the first miracle. And what happened in the first miracle? Let's see chapter 3, the book of Acts, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. And Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Verse 2. And a certain man, lamed from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called a beautiful, the beautiful gate. In front of beautiful gate, there was a person who was not very beautiful because he was born paralyzed. And he was carried and put in front of the beautiful gate. And Peter and John went up to the temple to pray as their regular habit. So you know all the apostles, they really live a life of prayer. Through the prayer, God empowered them. Through the prayer, God guide them. And through the prayer, the miracle being manifested by the name of Jesus Christ. To live a life of prayer is critically important to be the disciple of Jesus Christ. And then we look into the teaching material. Healed the paralytic, chapter 3, verse 1, and 7-7. Number A, paralytic. What does that mean, paralytics? There are two kinds of meaning. The first is physical meaning, literal meaning. Those who cannot walk properly, called paralytics. In the church, we did have this kind of miracle happen. In Taiwan, in Africa, and this kind of miracle happened quite often. But spiritually speaking, paralytic means those who cannot practice the truth. Those who cannot practice the truth. You know, in the book of Romans, Paul lamented that he knew what is right, but he was unable to practice what was right. He knew what was wrong, but he was unable not to do what was wrong. So he was unable to control himself. It seems the desire inside him control him. So he was a person has no freedom. So in the United States, you see, we lived in society, looks very free. You enjoy all kind of freedom. It seems you can do whatever you like, right? But actually, you look into the reality of the freedom, a lot of people actually has no freedom at all. They have been controlled by alcohol. They have been controlled by drug. They have been controlled by the evil desire, engaged in homosexuality, engaged in premarital sex. They have been controlled and get addicted with the TV games. They have been controlled and get addicted with any violence. So many sin prevailed in this so-called a free country. So after we believe in Jesus Christ, we still unable to practice what mentioned in the Bible, which is right in the eyes of God. Then spiritually speaking, we are paralytic. So what can we do? Since Jesus Christ is able to cure the paralytic, he can perform the miracle. He can cure the spiritual paralytic too. But What can we do? 我去 point B. Nature, what is the nature of the paralytic? Not by his own will. So physically, right now, we have nobody here. Nobody is paralytic. But spiritually, I believe, in certain sense or in certain degree, we are paralytic. Let's refer to Romans chapter 7. The book of Romans chapter 7. Verse 18, for I know that in me, this is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. Verse 19, for the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, I practice. Verse 20. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 21. I find them a law, that evil is present with me. And the one who will to do good. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in all members. So Paul here, he talk about his own struggle. He knew what was wrong, but he continued to do it. He knew what was right, but he was unable to do it. So do you think in United States we are facing the same thing, right? Especially when you are in a teenage. From your conscience, from the teaching of the Bible, from the movement of Holy Spirit, you know what is right. You know what is wrong. But when you're facing this big environment, there are so many distractions. There are so many temptations. So when we look into the teenager nowadays, really, it's very pitiful because we have been controlled by the worldly trend and we are unable to control ourselves. Desire will control us. And desire, a lot of time, been utilized by Satan. So Satan did not directly come into our heart to possess us. Satan indirectly used our physical desire, our evil desire, our lustful desire to control us. So we are unable to walk in the righteous path, walk in a path which really can please God. So in a certain sense, we are paralytic, we are paralyzed person. So what can we do? Number C, need people to carry a burden of the church. Do you know when Jesus performed here a paralyzed person, because a great multitude surrounding Jesus, so the paralyzed was not able to approach Jesus. So they carried the paralyzed top to the top of the roof and dropped just in front of Jesus Christ. How many people carry one paralyzed person? How many? Four, right? Four carry one person. So suppose in the church, if we have 20 paralyzed person, you need 80 people to spend time to pray for them, spend time to encourage them, and all our energy, useful energy, precious energy, all spent in the pastoring work, try to take care of those who are paralyzed spiritually. So we have no energy left for spiritual outreach, evangelical outreach. So we have to pray for those who are paralyzed spiritually, so the church, whole church, can be strong spiritually or able to reach out and to do the work for God. So it becomes a burden of the church. Point D, healed by the Lord. So in Acts chapter 3, the paralyzed was healed by the Lord. Now we look into Acts chapter 3. How did the apostle heal the paralyzed? Okay. Verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. And fixed his eye on him with John, Peter, and said, "Look at us." Verse 5. So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Verse 6. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but I do have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, raise up and walk." Do you know the apostle, they did have silver and gold? Because in the chapter 2, everyone sell whatever they have and bring whatever they have to the apostle. Now, at that time, apostle was still taking care of the church, including offering, including distributing the food. So they do have silver and gold. But how come Peter say, silver and gold I don't have? Because Peter do not want to promote the ministry of God through the material way. Just right now in Africa, it's very easy. You can attract a lot of people to the church. If you start to do some charity work, a lot of people are going to come to the church. Actually, nowadays in Africa, most of the Christianity has been corrupted. By what way? By the charity organization done by the Christianity over the past 200 years. Because they love them, they'll give them a lot of material. So after 1 year, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, it's become a nature. If you go there, you don't give them material, that means you have no love. So when we try to go to Africa, we try to adopt a different approach. We only come to preach the truth. We don't give you anything. Because if we don't come, you still live your life. So we come here, not because we want to give you something materially. We want to preach the gospel to you. But thank God. They pray together, they receive Holy Spirit, they pray hard, and they receive the power of God. And they pray a lot, and miracle, wonder, and signs. And because of this, the teachers was able to expand in Africa. So Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have." But what did Peter have? What he have is the power of Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ. So today, this is what the church had to pursue. The power from the name of Jesus Christ. And the power from the name of Jesus Christ actually coming through Peter, the vessel of God, after Peter dedicated himself to pray a lot, being filled by the Holy Spirit. So the power of God becomes so, the name of God becomes so powerful to him. So after the person been cured, what happened? The result, chapter E2, result. A, 2A, glorified God. Now let's see verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. After the miracle being performed, God has been glorified. Of course, to this paralyzed person, after the miracle being performed, you can look into verse 8. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. So the paralyzed person was able to enter the temple. So originally, he has to be carried by people into the temple to worship God. But right now, he was able to walk into the temple by himself. So originally, he was a burden of the church. But right now, he is no longer a burden of the church. So when we pray, those who are weak spiritually, once God strengthened them, they were able to increase their faith. They will not be a burden of the church anymore, and they will contribute their effort to the church work. And then we see 2B. The testimony was full of power. So after the person was cured, in verse 15 and 16, the apostle proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ with full power. Why? Because the miracle happened mightily to prove the resurrected Jesus is a mighty God. So verse 15 and 16. But you deny the Holy One and the just and ask for a murderer to be granted to you. Verse 15. And kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from dead, of which we are witnesses. Verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So the apostle was able to bear testimony for the Lord mightily, powerfully, because a miracle happened. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus commanded the disciple. Let's see Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Verse 16, right? And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Jesus commissioned the disciple to go out and preach the gospel. And how can they prove whether the gospel is coming from God or not? Verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongue. Verse 18. They will take up a serpent. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So the miracle will be performed in the name of Jesus Christ to prove the truth is right. So the miracle just happened. The paralyzed person being cured. So the apostle was able to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ with power, because the miracle proved Jesus' name is powerful. So this is the result. Not only saved the one who was paralyzed, but also helped to promote the ministry of God in the apostolic church. Point C. The status apostle proven. Chapter 3, verse 5. So give them his attention, expecting them something from them. And Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but I do have, what I do have, I give it to you. So the apostle do have the power of God through Jesus' name. That is to prove they are the apostle of God, being used by God. In the 2 Corinthians, people was questioning the apostleship of God, of Paul. Whether Paul, you are apostle or not, who knows? You proclaim you are yourself apostle, then who knows you are apostle, right? Because you convert to Christ after Jesus' ascension. And one thing, a very important point, Paul say, I prove my apostleship through the power of performing miracle and wonder and signs. If God did not use me as apostle, where come this kind of power? And the reason God gave me the power, because he want me to preach his gospel. That is the reason the power to perform the miracle is the proof of the apostleship. So today, how can we prove we are the true Jesus church? We are the true church. One of the important ways is the miracle, wonder, and signs to prove The name of Jesus Christ is so powerful here. Why? Because Jesus is here. Oh, all the other denominations, they use the name of Jesus Christ too. But how come nothing happened? Because that was not the true body of Christ. So nothing happened. And we use the same name of Jesus Christ, and something happened. Why? It's not because we are different from there. We are owned by human being. It is because this is the true church. Okay, now we look into chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Verse 12. 11 and 12. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon, a great amazed. Verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intensely at us, as though by our own power and godliness we had made this man walk?" So a lot of people try to give credit to the apostle. Today the miracle can be performed. It must because the apostle more godly than other people. It must the apostle have some special power. And the apostle feel they cannot receive this kind of credit. It should also totally be credited to Jesus Christ. So they remind them, do you think it's because of our own power and our own godliness? Do you think it's because of we are the reason who can perform the mighty miracle? Of course not. And then what was the reason? We just read chapter 16. Because we believe in his name. And his name make this person well. So it was because the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ give us a faith. So we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ through the faith. And this person was cured. So in verse 16, chapter 3, verse 16, right? And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yet faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So where comes the faith? The faith comes from God. So if we have stronger faith than others, don't boast. Oh, he has little faith. You see, I have strong faith. I can keep the Sabbath. You see, he did not keep the Sabbath. I have a strong faith, so I go over the tithes. So you see, he has no faith. He cannot over the tithes. Oh, don't boast about the faith we have. Why? Because this faith is a gift of God. It coming from God himself. Oh, if you boast about yourself, have faith, and look down other people, has no faith. One day, if you pray, God don't want to give you faith, what are you going to do? You are going to fall downwards like those who don't have faith. So while we have faith, we have to give thanks to God. God, we thank you. You have mercy on me. You know I'm weak, so you give me the faith. So today, I am what I am because of your mercy giving me the faith. Even we have faith, we have to give credit to God. Even we are better than others spiritually, we have to credit to God, not ourselves. So you see, Jesus Christ, he witnessed two persons was praying in the temple of God. One is a Pharisee. In the outdoor behavior, Pharisees are better. They fast, they offer the tithes, they don't commit adultery. But while they were praying, they are counting their own righteousness. The sinner come. The sinner beat the chest. Feel unworthy to come and pray to God. But Jesus Christ said, who is more righteous before God? It was not the Pharisees. It was the sinner. How come? Because the sinner knew his own weakness, so he pushed himself down like a sinner and repent. So God elevated him to become a righteous person. So we should never boast about our own faith or our own righteousness. All had to be giving credit to Jesus Christ. And then After the miracle being performed, Peter delivered a very powerful sermon. And the powerful sermon first explained why the miracle happened. It's not because the godliness and the human reason of the apostle. It was because the name of Jesus Christ, through the faith given by Jesus Christ. And after the explanation, and the Peter just changed the sermon into another subject. From verse 18 onwards to verse 26, Peter started to introduce Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Verse 22, Jesus quoted the prophecy in the book of Deuteronomy. This prophecy mentioned about there will be a great prophet arise among you, and he is going to give you a lot of instruction. If anyone who don't want to obey the instruction of that prophet will be cut off from that group. And that was the prophecy regarding the coming of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, actually, in the time of Moses, God already had some prophecy regarding the coming of Jesus Christ. Since the Israelites believe in Old Testament, if Peter was able to explain the Old Testament very well, let them understand the Jesus Christ is the one who prophesied in the Old Testament, it was able to convince them Jesus is the Savior. And then from verse 24 onwards, talk about the prophet of Samuel. There is a lot of prophecy regarding to the coming of Jesus Christ. And verse 25, talk about the covenant made between your forefather Abraham and Heavenly God. And all the blessing will come to the descendant of Abraham. If you look into the genealogy of Jesus Christ was the descendant of Abraham. And Galatians chapter 4 talk about if we believe in Jesus, we are all the children of Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ, we connected ourselves to Abraham. And through Jesus Christ, we were able to receive the blessing God promised to give to Abraham. And that blessing regarding to the blessing in heaven, and that blessing regarding to the blessing in the world. So today, we are able to receive blessing because through Jesus Christ, we connected to Abraham. And then, you look into the sermon, the conclusion, verse 26, chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 26. To you first, God giving raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every of you from your iniquity. So Peter urged them to believe in Jesus, to repent. In verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blocked out. So let things of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So the last thing Peter requests them is to repent. This almighty name of Jesus Christ is going to have some connection with you. If you repent and believe in him, you are going to receive benefit from this almighty name of God. And after the mighty miracle happened, chapter 4, we go into chapter 4, the persecution begins. This is the work of Satan, trying to stop the prosperity of the apostolic church. You look into E2F, the beginning of persecution. The great fear come upon all in chapter 5, verse 11. Beginning of persecution. A. Obstruction to the holy work. The apostle was arrested because they proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ, and they preached the dead resurrected. So they arrest them. However, in chapter 4, verse 4, the membership increased to 5,000. And verse 5 onwards, talk about they were brought before the council and being questioned and being persecuted before the council. And while they were being persecuted, verse 8, chapter 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Spirit, said to them, "Ruler of the people and the elder of Israel." So Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. So you see, Jesus commanded the disciples, say, during the time when you are persecuted, don't be afraid. The Spirit of God is going to give you eloquency. Really, what Jesus promised exactly fulfilled in here. When they were persecuted, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit moved them to speak the words of eloquency to prove Jesus is the Christ. So chapter 4, verse 10. Let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stand before here before you whole. He used this opportunity to testify for the law. And then verse 11 and 12, furthermore, they testify, this is the stone which was rejected by your builder. Who was the builder? Builder was a Pharisee. Jesus Christ was rejected by the builder, which has become the chief cornerstone, the spiritual house, which is the church. Verse 12. Now, verse 12 is a very important verse in the book of Acts. Nor is there salvation in any others, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. There's only one name. Only one name. Relying on which we can be saved. And this is the name of Jesus Christ. Says there's only one religion have salvation, which is the religion using the name of Jesus Christ. Other than this religion, no one can be saved. Because only the name of Jesus Christ has the power for the forgiveness of the sin. And verse 13. Now they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. So they considered Peter was uneducated and unlearned. But they were preaching with boldness and power. And they marvel, this must be a person who followed Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was a very impressive person, impressed a lot of person because of his power and boldness. So right now, they look into Peter, they recall he was the one who followed Jesus Christ. 2FB, the disciples spoke the power with the Holy Spirit. Obey the commandment of Jesus to preach the gospel. In the chapter 4, verse 19, also very important. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Even under great persecution, the apostle was able to stick on the principle. We want to preach God, not preach man. And you judge whether to obey God or to obey man. So you know that the apostle was really, really have the power of God. So they were able to stand firm under persecution. So today, we live in the world. Sometimes we are being persecuted by a different way. When you are in school, you dare not to say grace before the meal. Why? Because you feel other people may look at you with a very strange eyesight, right? You may be you feel you are not identical with them. You are unique. So because of this, in this very subtle and very soft way of persecution, so a lot of Christians dare not to let other people know, I am a Christian, and you are under persecution too. So if we are filled by the Holy Spirit, you don't care how other people think about you. You only care to do what is right in the eyes of God, just like the apostle. They did not think about any consequence because they are filled by the power of God. And number D, the abide and the help of God was evident. So God will really abide with them. And number E, they rejoice in suffering.